Good morning, Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of the full year 2023-2024 results of Unieuro. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be a Q&A session. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Gianna La Rana, who is the Investor Relations Director of Unieuro. Ms. La Rana, the floor is yours.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call on the results closed as of 29th of February 2024. As usual, I am here flanked by the CEO, Giancarlo Nicosanti Monterastelli, Bruna Olivieri, our General Manager, and our CFO, Marco Deotto. The presentation is available on our corporate website on homepage at the address unieurospa.com. So now moving on to the presentation as an introduction, I would like to highlight that in the application of the accounting principle IFRS 5, the financial indicators for the full year to February 2024 do not include the contribution of Moncler in liquidation. The figures are restated in a discontinued operation line. That said, I would like to now give the floor to the CEO, Giancarlo.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, from myself too. I would like to say that today we are particularly proud to comment on numbers which, despite the tough market, the market that was -6.9%, unexpectedly negative, Unieuro was able to deliver results in line with the guidance we provided at the start of the year. So revenues estimated of about 2.635 billion, EBITDA nearly 35 million, and cash that really beat our expectation, 44 million. So, for us, we are commenting on a year that I will restate once again was difficult market-wise but particularly satisfying in terms of Unieuro results. It's been an important year for us too because we completed the targeted acquisition, an acquisition that basically further boosted the service component of our portfolio. The house already been we already account services already account over 6% of our revenues. And as you all might guess, the kind of profitability coming from there is much higher. And the Covéa acquisition accelerates a process that the company already initiated quite a while ago. You can see it on the following slide, on slide number 6. Here we can see the results achieved in the different quarters of the year ended on February 29th. So the Q1 was extremely negative, and I say it once again with a very high weight from Braun, the Braun products, TV sets, and it was devastating for us. We should also remember that, you know, many of our stores were also hit by the flood in Emilia-Romagna. And as you know, we have a pretty thick presence, footprint in this area, in terms of stores. But what the most important thing was that the company accomplished was a change, a game changer really in its strategy. We see it in Q2, Q3, Q4, where in spite of a market that kept being negative, as you can see at the top of the slide, economic results were always, always and consistently better than the previous year. So for us, this was the best proof of the validity of our strategy, the strategy that we initiated last summer. Then to give you a few more colors on the year and especially the forecasts for 2024 and 2025, I'd like to give the floor to Bruna Olivieri, our General Manager.
Thank you, Giancarlo. Good morning, everyone, from myself too. So Q1 was extremely sluggish,
and actually looking at its performance, we were able to fully restructure our view on our market as well as the sales strategy, because this year was to be the year of resilience. How did we do that? Well, in a pretty delicate balance between share growth and margins, especially shifting to the latter, that is the defending our profitability. We did this through a very careful discipline in our promotional activities, which occurred by product group and brand. We intensified negotiations with suppliers. We also optimized pricing, and I'd like to say straight away that this happened especially on the online channel, where we have more promotional pressure, and we also adjusted the pricing of specific services. But not just that, we also introduced a new and more careful review, a thorough review of our store network footprint. We're talking about the brick-and-mortar stores, and this happened through an enhanced operational efficiency of processes. In the fiscal year 2024, as you know, we made the courageous and necessary decision to close down our Moncler, our pure player channel. Besides that, we decided to introduce a very careful stock and cost policy. This translated into an enhancement of store profitability by improving the efficiency of the store staff, but also renegotiating the rental fees as to central structural costs. We tried to dramatically reduce the outsourcing of our services. And about the stores, we introduced two very important campaigns in order to really address the slow-moving inventory. In the following page, we are met with a very important figure. In the year of resilience, all this translated into a great NPS, Net Promoter Score, with which we measure the satisfaction of our customers in a recurring manner. This improved by 5%, and we were honored to receive, as you can read on the slide, to be presented with some important prizes for our industry. Then in the following page, we can see that although that year was pretty difficult, we executed our strategic plan. Once again, you see our narrative broken down between omnichannel trade and beyond trade. This was the year when we basically introduced, in the omnichannel trade side, we introduced important steps forward in the cloud and data strategy, on the store digitalization. There are over 220 stores now with electronic labels. Then we nearly completed the whole sales and operation planning program with the introduction of new sales forecasting system and the stock optimization, and also a very important project in terms of compliance. What we did was, well, in this year, the new pricing directive regulation came into force, and this had an impact, a relevant one, on our industry. Then, as to the beyond trade division, we keep extending our private label range, and also at the start of this fiscal year, 24-25, it's already bringing satisfaction. It already accounts for 5% in the actual numbers until April, vis-à-vis the rest of the sales. Then we introduced the first scheme to refurbish recondition products. As you know, in the most difficult market year, not only did we close down Moncler, but in the beyond trade, we ensured growth through a acquisition of Covercare. Now, moving on to the following page, we have a focus on the Covercare integration. So the closing happened on December the 1st. We explained already what Covercare is. It is a very important business in the market of mobile phone repairs and other mobile devices. But what matters the most is that COVID care also is active in completely different markets to Unieuro, and especially in the B2B2C, especially telco and OTC. This way, we have the possibility to expand our value chain beyond the relevant market. But what is even more interesting, with services and product lines that basically display growth and profitability that are superior to the trade we are used to. The consolidation happened since December the 1st, 2023, with a purchase price, including earn-out, of 70 million, in addition to the net cash of 13.5 million. Now, the first few months were fully devoted to integrate the finance integration, to integrate the finance side of the newly acquired company. We appointed a board with five directors, and Unieuro side, we appointed an integration director. You can see the numbers on the right of the slide, the numbers of COVID care. And for this stretch of time, December until February, its contribution to Unieuro EBIT was negligible, 1.8 billion to start with. Next slide. Here we see we are very pleased to provide you with a more general picture on the whole ESG achievements, especially the four areas, ESG areas. In this fiscal year 2024, we continued supporting sustainability, pursuing our sustainability plan, but also developing new plans at that. As a reminder, sustainability is a cross-cutting target in our plan. The acquisition of COVID care enables us to improve our sustainability because it is based on a circular business model. And since it works with the installation of air conditioning or photovoltaic panels, everything with high energy efficiency. A few initiatives that we committed to this year, let's break them down by chapters. So, environment, we are still making our stores more efficient from the energy viewpoint. We are trying to buy 100% of our energy from renewable sources, and we performed the first carbon footprint measurement, and we are working to draft a decarbonization plan in line with the best practice. Then a social attention to customers, and there was actually an increase in a net promoter score, plus 5%. Then we have a new leadership model in order to better lead the transformation plan. We keep measuring the employee network promoter score in order to develop a sustainability culture inside the organization. So we have the first module of training, compulsory training on sustainability for the whole of the staff. We have the electronic labels in 220 stores. And last but not least, our initiative against cyberbullying. We developed it with the support of the police, and we had a record number of hits, 2 million. Then, in terms of governance, we reviewed the stakeholder map, and we engaged them in the materiality analysis with a customized approach, and this returned a response rate of nearly 90%, and sustainability is now part of the enterprise risk management update. The whole risk catalogue was reviewed, trying to highlight the impact on ESG. ESG KPIs have been in our incentive system for a few years, both for the medium and the long term. We are also getting ready to introduce the CCRD. To conclude, we invite you to read our DNS, where listing all our ESG initiatives with details. Specifically because this is a very important plan for the whole of our strategy. Then the following slide. Here, we would like to report the following: technology, the launch, we completed the gap analysis, whereby we will launch the SAP retail and after sales. We have launched our leadership management project, as we were saying before. This was successful. And then we have a three-year contract where it is no that basically takes care of our exposure to the electricity price. And now we have the market trend. As Giancarlo was saying, it was the toughest year in our market. It basically closed with minus seven, the market, with 2 months of our fiscal year, January and February, that were once again negative contributors to the total market, with an offline at minus 8%. But great news that we never observed in the past decade, the online channel too was negative, minus 5%. But in spite of this minus 7% on the market, the market of the fiscal year 2024 is still higher than the pandemic. The only thing to be worth mentioning is that the online too was negative for the first time. All the macro industries, they basically are suffering, and especially gray, minus 5.9%, and IT and telecom declining, white, a positive surprise, plus 0.2%, to support in a highly negative market with the NDA that grows thanks to a price component. And this is the head component, mainly supported by the mass merchandiser segment, where we know that Amazon also is part of it. Home comfort was obviously another negative issue in this market because the incentives, the state incentives ended. Another negative contributor was Braun, minus 25.5%. And we know the reasons for that, which is we have now passed the years where there was a switch in the frequencies. As to the distribution channels performance, the negative contributors were the specialists and, alas, the technical superstores, minus 8% there, so higher than the market, with mass merchandisers still negative, but they were able to contain, to curb the decline thanks to the pad performance. Then, following slide, we see UniEuro, how we performed. So, as we know, it was in the online component. It was able to perform the same, you know, in the same way as the direct competitors. So minus eight, like the competitors. So it is the year of resilience, planned in a proper manner by UniEuro to protect margins and in favor of the offline, and especially the second half in, against the online. But nevertheless, we were able to maintain a flat share in spite of the negative environment. Then financials, and it is a pleasure for me to give the floor to our CFO, Marco Deotto. Thank you, Bruna, and good morning from myself too. Before delving into numbers, a general comment on a year, page 17. Here you find a quick picture on Q4, the last quarter, closing at 708.5 million revenues with a 7.1% decrease than against last year, a drop in line with the last two quarters. Q2 was minus 6 and Q3 minus 8. The trend, you saw the trend right at the beginning, and the trend refers so the market trend has been the same since the start of the fiscal year. Adjusted EBIT, 19.4 million, rising by 3.7 million vis-à-vis the previous year. Here, it is important to note the contribution of Covéa, 1.8 million in the perimeter, so 1.8 million out of 3.7 is down to Covéa. 1.9 is Unieuro pure, in spite of a decrease in revenues. Then at the bottom part of the chart, you see a bridge comment, adjusted EBIT bridge, Q4 last year. So the development through the growth in gross profits, the reduction in marketing logistics costs, more than offsetting other negative effects in the others, the contribution to costs of the introduction of Covéa into the perimeter to land on 19.4 million. So this is the general comment on Q4. Now, the following page, page 18, we see some remarks on the performance of the fiscal year. So revenues closing at 2.635 billion, decreasing by 6.3% vis-à-vis the previous year, fully ascribable to a market trend. Then adjusted EBIT, 34.8 million there, decreasing by 2.2 million vis-à-vis the previous year, 37, as Gianna was saying at the beginning, of course, compared to 34.8 reported of the previous year, reclassified due to IFRS 5, that is the exclusion of the Moncler loss, which impacted the previous year for 2.2 million. Then economic side, what's there to comment? Yes, there is the impact of Covéa, marginal in terms of revenues, but a bit more in terms of margins, and EBIT adjusted closing at 2.2 million below the previous year, but with a constant, a consistent progress that Giancarlo mentioned right at the beginning of the presentation. And those of you who read our quarterly results during the year, you will then appreciate the trend that occurred after the summer following the change in our strategy. Then financial side, adjusted free cash flow at 10.6 million and the net cash at 44.5 million. A comment on net cash, we'll go back to this later. The decrease by 80 million vis-à-vis the previous year is fully ascribable to the net impact of the Covéa acquisition between price and free cash flow contribution, so a 69.4 million negative, and the payment of dividends in June 2023. In the following slide, you can better appreciate some sales performance and the trends. The numbers are in line with what we saw until Q3, January. Just a few callouts. The brown, as mentioned, it contributes to 80% of the full decline. So the decline is focused in that category especially. And as to the channels, we have the online decreasing by 13.4% for the first time since ever, I would say, a very marked drop where our contribution to protect margins is clearly visible. And then a few comments on a positive note. Inside the white, we have an NDA that is declining and then sorry, it's rising, but unfortunately, the FDA is a negative contributor, but NDA is very important for us for margins. And the last comment on this chart is the private label, whose growth, in spite of the market decline, is at 8.1% vis-à-vis last year. On the following slide, you see the profitability bridge, of the EBIT adjusted vis-à-vis the previous year. And here you can see the individual items. I want to underscore a couple of topics, moving from 37 to 34.8 million from last year and this year. The first comment is on gross profit, decreasing by 29 million. The call out here is that what needs to be seen here, there was a growth by 30 BPS in the gross profit as a percentage vis-à-vis last year, which means the gross profit effect of the volume decrease was higher than 29 million, and there is a positive contribution in the percentage growth of margins that derive from a very careful management of product and channel profitability. As to the rest to be mentioned, there are the marketing costs, and we had to optimize this division in order to protect margins, some benefits in logistics coming from the decrease in volumes, and then an important work that we did on D&A, and this was favored by a contribution by a lower cost of energy than last year. This is my comment to EBIT. Then in the following page, slide 21, here you can see the adjusted net income consolidated compared to the reported net income. In the bottom part of the slide, you see the contributors between 18.7 of net income adjusted and 17.4 of reported net loss. So most in discontinuity with the past, and this is ascribable to the discontinued operations for 15.8 million, and then the tax-related effects. Within the 15.8 million, I can point out that there are 10 million between the goodwill markdown and for goodwill and the brand goodwill. Then the provision for the liquidation procedure, 2.8 million loss reported by the company in the current fiscal year. Then on slide 22, you can see a bridge of the adjusted free cash flow. 10.6 million is the end result after 40.2 million in capex, and we'll go back to this later. And a net cash that stood at 44.5 once dividends were distributed for 9.8 million, and also considering the negative contribution of the M&A Covercare. Then on page 23, briefly on CapEx in line with the previous year, I'd like to highlight that besides the usual investments in terms of omnichannel strategy and IT, during 2023 and 24, we basically completed the introduction of electronic labeling, a very important target for us, both for the technology and also this way we can better manage prices. Net working capital, negative by 350 million and 11 million difference to the past year, negative, ascribable to the change in the consolidation scope, Covercare. Then page 24, as usual, you see some indicators. Starting from the left, you see the retail network. As you can see, it is a year with closing downs of direct stores, whereas the affiliate stores, the situation was flat. About this page, we'd like to highlight the NPS rising this year too, 53.1 against 51.9. Then a workforce decreasing by 5% in this case, ascribable to a lower number of stores, but also an enhancement of efficiency in our stores. To conclude on economics, we talk about dividends. As you might have read in the press release, There is a dividend proposal to the AGM to distribute a dividend of 0.46 per share in line with the policy. It is a yield of 5%, and this represents, well, it is in line with the result. It's the same as the dividend last year. A comment on the dividend history, as you can see from the graph. So assuming this kind of distribution, we have returned 72.5% of the IPO price in the last 7 years. And this is the end of the economics, and I'd like to give the floor to Bruna to talk about the outlook for next year.
Yes, thank you, Marco. We wanted to share with you the scenario-related elements of the current fiscal year. We will have some headwinds and some tailwinds too. What matters here straight away is that a new tough year is awaiting us, but we have a team that is ready to navigate through headwinds and tailwinds as we demonstrate in the second half next year. What about the headwinds? So there is the renewal of the commerce sector's collective bargaining agreement that will have an important impact this year and in the following 2 years, about 8 million euros this year. Then we will have some macroeconomic elements. Yes, a slight recovery, but still a spread uncertainty that will impact the first half of our market. Why do I mention the first half? Because in our market view, we see two special moments. The half one with a market that is negative, driven downwards by consumer electronics and telecom and MDA, and small appliances and information technology being stable. But together with the most important brands in the industry, we have constructed a much positive view in the second half, driven by a reduction in inflation and therefore a new boost in the purchase power of consumers. And in our view, this will turn into a newly positive H2 for major appliances. So we will have a flat total in the year. As to the small appliances flat, we expect an extremely positive second half on consumer electronics, driven by some sports events that usually drive the sector upwards. And we are also rightly betting on the fact that the IT will now go back upwards. Following the COVID years. So we will have a total market that will be slightly negative but stable. Where once again, if we look at the next slide, we will have a great improvement on our transformation plan, still on our two main chapters. We will have an evolution of the category strategy in terms of customer centricity. We will further invest in digital transformation. Then the whole cloud infrastructure will go online, the first AI projects, and the SAP retail and after-sales will be completed. And we will also introduce the customer identity. We will revamp with the cloud adoption our e-commerce interface. We will also keep implementing our HR transformation. In all our chapters, we keep exploring additional M&A opportunities. As to beyond trade, here we have our first products
leveraging on Covéa. We will have some other products on private label across product categories. We will keep developing our trade-in and second-hand business. We will keep expanding our category range. Here you see some examples. We will introduce wellness and an important novelty to do with the world of energy. Last but not least, we will be launching the first two products on the retail media segment, and here too we are open to explore any additional M&As. As to give the floor back to Giancarlo to conclude on the guidance.
Thank you, Bruna and Marco. I think that we have tried to give you an overview of the past year, but we are also focusing on the next year, and Unieuro is tackling this new year in a very positive manner because we believe that we were able to reverse a negative trend in the past year. You saw it in the following quarters. We were able to bring home positive results. We were able to comply with the guidance in a market that ended up with -6.9, one of the largest losses in the year. And this market, this year, we expect it to be flat, and we look at the future with a very optimistic and serene spirit. As to the guidance, we are thinking of revenues and cash in line with the previous full year, with an EBIT that might be in a range of 35-40 billion. What we have tried to depict to you is what Unieuro is doing to get prepared and in order to resume M&As, not just the targeted ones like the Covéa, but also the scale kind of M&As. Following several years of COVID and post-COVID, where M&A was had a standstill, now Unieuro can go back to what it was has been doing so far. Although we are market leaders, our share is just over 18%, and we see that in the rest of Europe, the market is 25 and 30%. So we want to go back to growth, and we have already prepared the company to once again take on a leadership position in terms of revenues, but also in terms of prospects. The acquisition of Covéa goes in this direction, that of safeguarding both margins and to offer new services to consumers that are moving in that direction, as we can see worldwide in the retail sector, in this sector. So, and now we leave the floor for questions. We are available for you. Thank you.
Chorus Call operator speaking. We will now start the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your keypad. In order to exit the booking list, press star followed by two. Please ask your questions by speaking into the microphone. Whoever wants to ask a question, press star followed by one now. First question, Andrea Bonfà, Banca Akros.
Good morning. I have a question on tax. I believe that the strong increase comes from the close down of Moncler. Is it cash in nature, or will it be cash in nature? The second question, you are in a position where you have 1 billion more than before the pandemic with the same EBIT adjusted. So I was wondering whether this is a question of mix or whether there are higher costs, or if you can elaborate on this, and if you believe that the market conditions are there, medium term, to have better profitability. And if I may,
How is the first quarter doing? Just to have a general idea. Thank you.
Andrea, Marco here. I'll answer your first two questions. Well, first thing first, the tax impact that you see reported refers to a delta of the statutory tax deductible due to caution for the sustainability of the DTA for the future revenues flows. Specifically, no, it's not cash in nature. Second question, profitability lower than the pre-COVID time. What I can say is that I believe that this is what the sector is experiencing is a different reality than back then. The margins conditions, the penetration of the online channel and the other cost dynamics, they put pressure that you see in the numbers if you compare different time periods. Of course, it is our intention, and as the Covéa acquisition testifies, on the one hand, we want to try and work well in an omni-channel trade. We want to stay competitive and profitable in that area by trying to increase profitability once again through services. That's why we acquired Covéa. As to Q1, I'll give the floor to Bruna.
Yes, we talked about a weak market in the half. We saw it in March. There was a very negative market there, and there was a recovery with a flat market. As you know, the GfK market is not aligned. That's exactly what we are expecting. UniEuro performance in line with the last quarters that you appreciated, we are very satisfied with it. As I was saying before, we have a very strong presence of private labels. In March and April, it has already reached 5% of our revenues. On top of that, we have the profitability protection. We will have a first half that will be very weak on online, planned to be so, because it basically goes hand in hand with the first quarter last year. That's where the margin pressure comes from. We are planning opposite the last year. The first half planned as weak online to protect margins, and the gross profit that is still holding up. April improving, and I'd like to report an MDA UniEuro that was growing double digits in an unfavorable market, because we are leaders on this product group. Not just that, it is a product group that offers interesting margins.
Thank you. If I may, on Covéa, 1.8 million EBIT in the last quarter. What about the seasonality of Covéa? Can we multiply 1.8 by four?
Yes, it's a good proxy, Andrea. I believe that the total contribution for the year might be even higher, between 2.5 per quarter. That's what we expect.
Next question, Giuseppe Grimaldi, BNP Paribas.
Good morning. My first question is on the competition. This year was complicated. I'd like to ask you whether you can give us an idea of what is happening around you. The second question, in a year when this, well, this fiscal year 2024-2025, where there is a cost pressure due to the increase on the labor costs that is shared by all players,
will there be a better competitive pressure in terms of promotions? Because this cost pressure is shared by all players. Can you give us an update on this?
Yes, I'll answer your questions. Competitive scenario. The market landed on -6.9, so we saw the results of our competitors, of our main competitor in counter trend vis-à-vis ours, and we're talking about public numbers here. So the promotional pressure in the past few months, well, it was the main focus by everyone. So Unieuro, as market leader, it changed our promotional pressure, and you saw it from the positive results. The competition followed us, I believe, because we are all experiencing this very same market, and we had, and we will have the need to keep promotions under control. But the positive thing here is that the competition followed upon our steps. Not all of them, because our main competitors that was in counter trend reported absolutely negative results, and these are public results.
Thank you.
Whoever wants to ask a question, press star followed by one now.
Federico Belluati, Kepler.
Good morning. My question on operating costs. Do you expect cost savings except for personnel in Q1?
Federico, we can't hear you very well. Can you speak closer to the microphone?
My question is on operating costs, except for the personnel effect, 8 million. Do you expect an increase in this or other costs starting from Q2? And then personnel costs, in 2025, 2026, there should be a second part of the increase. Can you give me a number on that?
Marco here. I would like to say that the year that just started, cost-wise, we expect what Carolina, sorry, what Bruna said before. The increase due to the renewal of the contract. As to the rest of the trends, net of the COVID care and revenues gross profit, we do not expect any changes. Then, in terms of medium to long term of the contract renewal, what you say is right. There will be a second round of increases already secured in contracts, slightly less than this year. I would say 2.5, 3.5% next year too.
Thank you.
Next question, Emanuele Negri, Mediobanca.
Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. So my question, as to the bridge on slide 20, 18 million on efficiency enhancing and other costs, the energy component, what is its weight here? Then can you give us a few more colors on
the launch of retail media? Thank you.
Emanuele, good morning. Marco here. As to the first question, out of that 17 million on page 20, that's what you refer to, we could say that 80% is ascribable to energy. As to the rest is to do with the management of cost operations. Then on retail media, Bruna, so as we know, there is a strong market trend to see retail as a media, especially in America, Walmart, for example, and not just that. And this year, and especially for the beyond trade component, we prepared the first two products. One is specific for online, for search, so with specific keywords, there will be the possibility that in our main list, some sponsored components will appear. The second product has to do with, it is an omni-channel product on the display component, both in terms of our shop windows and website, that we will be adding some digital screens. And then we will become part of the circuits of the great agencies. So we should add revenues components that are similar to advertising. For further, I have to say that we have tried to give you a picture, a general picture of the year that just ended, and especially what we will do this year. And I'd like to remind you that in the guidance that we provided, the impact of the labor cost is already included. So, we have performed we've done a good job in order to try and improve margins, although there is a although the taking into account the effect that we basically saw, but the guidance reflects this. So thank you, everybody. Myself, Bruna, Marco, and Gianna are available for any further questions you might have in the future. Thank you, and have a nice day.